Awesome Father, empower our children to be shining examples of faith and love and purity. May they impact others and glorify your name. Amen. Great. Give them a round of applause as they head back. Like I said, it's messy, but it's fun, right? Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Great. I'm going to invite up my three fathers. And while they're coming up, I've got a definition of a father that I like. One who imparts life and is committed to it. So not just imparts life, but then is committed to that life. A progenerator, bringing into being and to pass on the potential for likeness. That's my definition of father. And I think there's Christians or believers, thank you if you can bring those chairs across and we'll set ourselves up here nicely there. We'll give them a round of applause in a minute. But one of our greatest privileges is to, or our father, sorry, I'll start again. As Christians or believers, our fathering should reflect the ultimate father's fathering. And we're going to hear from a few dads today. There's one more coming up. Here he comes. Come on, Dad. We've got one more coming up. Great. And we're going to hear a few stories and a few insights to this reflection of how they see the father or their fathering experience and how they've implemented it into their children's lives. I'm just going to go on to say here that the stories of our lives are especially powerful in shaping how we understand and interpret language. So stories help us interpret language. For some, the word father is a wonderful term that conjures up all kinds of tender emotions, love, care, feelings of provision and protection. But while for others, the word father, they feel abandonment, emotional disengagement, rejection, and fear. And culture shapes language, and language shapes culture. And stories have the power to redefine and create new language and therefore culture. So that's what we're going to hear, stories today. Not a message from the Bible, but just stories about fathering. Because in that story, we get a glimpse of what our ultimate father is actually like. So can we welcome Mark Hoppo? Glenn Howard, and of course, Justin Meather. Now, I call Glenn, thank you, Justy. For those that know Justy, he is a fantastic young dad. I think he's about 34. Oh, I got that right, about 34 years old, 46. I call Glenn better late than never. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But he's never early. He's never going to be the first in the door, ever. But he's here. Isn't that amazing? Like, I'm just amazed at you, you know. Well, I don't mean that with any, like, you know, cheek and horribleness. Better late than never. You just churn up, man. He's got four, well, you're going to share a bit. And Hoppo, 46, I think, Glenn. Are you 46? And I said 55, right? But you're actually 64. Is that right? You're older than me. I'm 60. I'm a dad. So my claim to fame, I'm a dad of two, a 60-year-old, and I've got six incredible grandchildren, which is just keeps me young, very, very young. So we're going to hear from these guys this morning. Just in relation to that element of reflection of the Father. So what do you see in the heart of God, and how does that reflect? So my first is to Glenn. I've got this scripture up, and this scripture to me challenges me and inspires me, but also as I read it, when I thought of who am I going to get in terms of fathering, these guys fit this scripture really, really well. And it's Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he said, you know, I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold to shame you. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you and want you to grow up well, not spoiled. Now, that's difficult to let our kids grow up well and not spoiled. And particularly as a granddad, that's even harder to not spoil our kids. But there are a lot of people who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. And these men here that I know have taken the time to help their children grow up. It is Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. So he was a spiritual father to them. And I'm not, you know, asking you to do anything that I'm not already doing myself. And I think that's a great line that, you know, I grew up in the Navy, you know, I joined the Navy at 17. And one of the things, the lines was, do as I say, not as I do, which always bugged me. But that's not the way God does it. He is not that kind of guy. And these men are not that kind of men either. So I'm going to ask Glenn especially, how can you please share a story that, or, well, first of all, tell us your one point on the current dad experience and the most rewarding or challenging aspect of that current situation.
So I've got a girl and then three boys, so four kids.
Swap. Try that.
Yeah, so father of four, a girl and then three boys. So it's pretty hectic. Even just getting to a place on time, it can be a bit of a challenge. Just, you know, finding socks, putting socks back on. Craziness
so
all the time.
So you're quite a messy life season at the moment, right?
And they've all got their own wills. You know, the youngest there just decided now not to go back to class and wanted to be with me. So all the time is all these little battles of wills and trying to get them to do what needs to be done. And but it's fun. It's lots of fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fun, great. Tell us your immediate story, your situation.
Thanks. Back to me. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I wanted to start by saying that being a father is both my greatest challenge, but also my greatest joy. The challenge comes with the daily pressures, the noise, the energy. And yes, sometimes the chaos of raising three young boys. But the joy, well, it's seeing them grow. It's seeing them laugh. It's seeing them explore and become the young men that God has created them to be.
Fantastic. Really good. I feel for actually Lucy. I know it's Father's Day, but four boys, really. Because he is very young at heart. So, yeah, think of Lucy in that. Hoppo, tell us a little bit about your current situation as a dad.
Thanks, Pete. So I have what I call my big kids. I have a son who's 30 years of age and a daughter who's 27. And you just briefly met my young kids, which is Maximilian, who came up and spoke just before. So I've got a range there.
How old's Maxi?
Maxi's 12. Oh, recently turned 12, yeah. And I think your question was to mention a highlight, the joy of fatherhood.
Yeah.
I'm just going to borrow from a very consistent theme that occurs here at church, and that's just their love. The gift to be able to extend love to them, and then just the love that they return to you. Then I think the second part of the question was, what is the biggest challenge that I face at the moment?
Yep.
The challenge is with Max, and the challenge is mine, and that is that in my fathering, that I don't impose the problems I have, the burdens I have on him through impatience, or any other shortcomings. So that's the biggest challenge I face.
Yeah, fantastic. Round of applause. That's the intro to these boys. So, Glenn, you know, love and compassion, or can you share a story that inspires you to, you know, what you've picked up in the heart of the Father and how you've received that revelation, or you see our Father in heaven that may have been or may not have been modeled to you as, you know, as a young boy, but you've seen it in the heart of God and then you've implemented it, and it's difficult. It's not an easy process to allow what you see to become you and then deliver that to your children. So what would be the characteristics of God that you see, and you've, you know, try to bring that into your own life and model that towards your kids, like that scripture said?
Yeah. So certainly presence, just being there. Patience and kindness. So presence, are just, you know, I love being there with them throughout everything, you know, like with all the soccer practices and the games, just seeing all that stuff, and all of the things that we do, everything sort of going on, it can be really hectic, like, just you know, just like soccer practice there, we've got to be there at a certain time, it's a few nights a week, getting dinner on the table, getting the math homework done, so like all those things, even just getting to school on time, like, you know, it can be really crazy. It's not just the socks. My kids, they'll sit down and they'll you know, eating breakfast, they'll just chit chat. Like, it doesn't matter how much preparation there is to get them to school on time. It doesn't matter, the lunches are made, the uniforms are folded, like, just they can throw a spanner in the works, just like that. And but yeah, even eating breakfast, they'll sit there together, and there's four of them, so they can chit chat for 20-30 minutes. And one of the words that I've spoken the most in the last 10 years is just eat, like, please eat, just variations of eat. But just, yeah, I've just always want to try and, yeah, have that patience to, you know, to be able to get them through that, but kindly, with kindness, that it's not through a dominance, but through just a loving way, because I want them to, that's who I want them to be. So I guess achieving the outcome, but yeah, not necessarily the easiest way. It's
is that your experience with God, like, he's just so patient with you?
I think so. I think that the patience, the presence, and the kindness there, because it's a difficult one. It's one that you know, I make a lot of mistakes with, and very lucky that with my wife, that when, I don't know if this is common, but like when my patience is starting to dip, hers goes up, and vice versa. So it always sort of, we always sort of measure out together. But
fantastic. What do you do other than your wife to fill up that patient bucket? You know, because it does get drained very, very quickly.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, re-energize? You know, do you go to God and say, man,
How does that look? Probably one of the most prayed prayers that I've prayed. Yeah, just the, give me more patience. but I think it's also just like refocusing a little bit and seeing them at the table, you know, and they're eating their breakfast really slow. But seeing the other side of that, that it's a really awesome characteristic thing that they've got, that they're able to enjoy their time together as well.
Really important.
So it's just that, looking at it from a different perspective as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Love is patient. Mm. Isn't it? It's amazing. So give Glenn a round of applause. Very messy household, but patient through love. And so, Hoppo, I'm going to jump over to you. So can you share a story that reflects kind of your journey? You know, you've only been in this church for about 18 months. You've quickly become a dear friend of mine, and I mean that with sincerity. We've just hit it off, haven't we? And we also talk about our fathering a little bit, but tell us a bit of a story that, you know, maybe from your daughter that was quite surprising to you, as you reflect on being a father, what it is to be a good father, or, you know, something along those lines for me, please.
Yeah, you've asked a very dangerous question there, because normally when I start speaking about my daughter, I don't stop. again, you know, if you come to Caleb's church, if you come to church here with Caleb and you don't get a sporting reference, you've been sold short. So there's a very famous piece of tape at the Olympics where a 400-metre runner gets to the top of the final straight and he pulls his hamstring. And his dad defies all the security, climbs the fence, and helps his son get over the finish line. And so I've always tried to impart in my children that they should run, that they should try, they should find the things that they're passionate about and pursue them, and try to get them to believe that I will be there to pick them up. Now, of recent times, I've had some significant challenges. And what has been really beautiful is both the experience I've had here at church, which I'll come to if I may, but the reaction of my two big kids in particular, who now pick me up, straighten me up, and head me towards the finish line. There's not a day that they don't express their love to me through ringing me, reaching out, making sure I'm okay. Not that they're okay, but that I'm okay. Mm. And that comes from love.
Yeah, amazing.
So I should talk a little bit about getting here to church.
Yep.
So my darling wife, my beautiful wife, Tatenda, and Max are very regular at church, have been for many years since Maxie was born, basically. I have not been historically. I might come because it was on the way to lunch or just to show Max that I can actually turn up at church. But then February, March last year, I came and sat out there, and there is no doubt in my mind that Caleb was targeting me with his sermon that day, because he hit me right between the eyes. He smacked me right in the head with issues that were relevant to me. And, you know, I was going through some very challenging times. I still am, but I was at the height of it then. I had a tension in my body that I couldn't deal with. And so I had this incredible experience that when I came to church, I actually had the tension physically relieved from my body. And then you made me come to men's group.
Made him come. It was a kidnapping.
And I had the same experience there.
Mm.
You know, not only was the messaging I was receiving compelling, I was taking both the benefit of that message, but a physical relief.
Mm.
And that journey's continued. We talk about the heart. I didn't have any concept of feeling and driving thoughts from the heart. But in the last 18 months, I've actually become aware of this space in my body. I feel like barnacles have been chipped away from my heart. And it probably peaked around the period when we did that group prayer here, which when I started, I thought, whoa, what I've got myself into here. And by the time I finished, again, you know, physical transformations, a wonderful sense. Mm. So I have rambled a little bit there. But I think the story that you'd like me to relate, Pete, is that in my constant discussions with my daughter, as she cares for me, she expressed the view recently, Dad, you should write a book. Dad, you should have a podcast, which I think was very flattering. And then she sent me a podcast for Hamish, the comedian television personality. He's a very smart man. He's recently become a father, so he does a podcast on fathering.
Great.
So she sent me that to listen to. And he has a standard question in that podcast. Define yourself as a father with three words. So after I finally listened to the podcast, I spoke to Savannah, my daughter, and I said, darling, I don't want to be indulgent here, but what are the three words that you think of when you think of me as a father? And I don't want to muck this up, so I've used an old-fashioned technique. She gave me three words: effort, courage, and love. You know, you go, wow, absolutely wow, you know, to get that back.
Amazing.
Was wonderful.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Round of applause. Just one more question before I get on to Justy is, you know, coming in here, what was the surprising message that you, when you came into the Father's house, and we call this the Father's house, not Caleb's house, the Father's house, what was the surprising but overwhelming message, if you could sum it up in one word, that you were surprised at every time you came here?
Yeah, love.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, I'm very conscious of that word because I knew this question was coming. So I'm very conscious of that word today, and already it will have been mentioned in this place many, many times this morning. So I did not expect that the key message I would get in church was love. You know, if you ask me what I expected, maybe some guilt, maybe some shame, maybe some call for, you know, just be a better person, Hoppo, for goodness sakes. But what I got was love.
Amazing.
And
amazing.
I now just keep, as you've said, Pete, you hear things when you're open, you know. And so I hear and I appreciate the importance of love much more.
Fantastic, great. Justy, finishes off. You know, how can you share a personal story that reflects your fathering life through leaning on the characteristics you found in the relationship with your Heavenly Father and how you demonstrate and reflect that to your children?
Sure, I'd love to. So to start off with, I'm going to introduce my three boys a little bit to give you a bit of context. So my oldest, Arik, is neurodivergent and he has this amazing way of seeing the world differently, and he constantly reminds me of God's creativity. My middle son, Ezra, well, he's full of energy, as I mentioned before. He's the one who keeps me on my toes, keeps me moving, and often keeps me humble. And then there's Boaz, my youngest, and I heard some sighs there because people know him. Okay, he's 4 years old. He's adventurous, he's wild, and he's ready to climb or jump off almost anything. So that paints a bit of a picture of what it's like in my house. It's busy, it's loud, and at times it's overwhelming. Now, here comes my personal challenge and how I rely on God, okay? I don't always get it right. I lose my patience. I feel stretched thin. Okay, there are days when I go to bed thinking, man, I could have done that better. But it's in those moments that I lean hard on the truth in Lamentations where it says, because of the Lord's great love that we are not consumed. For his compassions, or in some translations, love, never fails. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And that's who our Heavenly Father is. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. Okay. And he's a God of forgiveness. And just as he gives me a fresh start every day, he forgives me. Okay, I want to give my boys the same. Okay, when one of them, so a bit of an example, okay, has a meltdown, happens often, or they fight, okay, or when the energy boils over, or when mistakes are made, okay, it's so tempting to meet them with frustration, okay, but I remember how God meets me, okay, he does not meet me with anger, he does not meet me with condemnation, okay, he meets me with compassion, and with mercy every single time. So, I try to do the same. I try to forgive. I say, today is a new day. Okay, I offer forgiveness very quickly. I hold them close, even when they push every single button of mine, and they push my buttons. And that's what nurture looks like to me, okay? It's not softness or weakness, but it's strength expressed in gentleness. And my encouragement to all of you, all the fathers, especially myself, I'm speaking to myself, is I want to, as I said, I want to encourage you, but our role is more than providing correction. It's more than just providing in general financial, okay? It's be compassionate, be forgiving, be the safe place for your children to run to. Reflect the love of our God, our Heavenly Father, so that when our kids, okay, look at you, when they look at me, they may hopefully get a glimpse of what he's like, our Heavenly Father. So yes, fatherhood is messy. Okay, it's loud, it's exhausting, but it's also one of the greatest gifts. Okay, and that's the hope for all of us, that his mercies are new every day. And if we receive his mercy daily, then we can give it and extend it daily to everyone, to our families, to the person sitting next to you. So thank you, and happy Father's Day.
Fantastic. Right, we're going to wrap that up, and we're going to continue to celebrate with food afterwards. But I'd love Caleb to come up and just pray for all the dads and bless the role of fathering. We see it amazing.
It's great. Thank you so much for sharing, guys. I know these three men represent so well the different fathers, men we have in the church, as well as everyone. It's just so great to hear your hearts and hear what God's been doing in each of your lives, because that is just a real reflection of who he is today, seeing you guys. Just your honesty and your humility is just beautiful. Can we just pray together as we finish this morning? Lord God, we just sit, Lord God, shoulder to shoulder, Lord God, as the people of God this morning. Lord God, we're here because of you, Lord God. You are the ultimate Father. Just as Jesus encouraged us to pray, his first words were, "Our Father who is in heaven." Mm. And we sit before you this morning, Lord God. We just reflect, Lord, that you are our Father. All of us, you're our Father individually, but you're our Father as a community of believers at Discover Church, Lord God. And we look to you first and foremost, Lord God, not to an earthly human being, a man, leader, pastor, podcast, Lord God, celebrity, nothing else, Lord God. We look to you. You are the ultimate Father. Every other father, every other person falls short, is imperfect, isn't quite good enough, Lord, but you are perfect. You are enough for us, Lord God, and you never fail us. You never fall short, Lord God. So we finish today by just looking at to you, Father God. And we also are grateful, Lord, for the men that you've put in our lives, the fathers, the grandfathers, the father figures, uncles, brothers, Lord God. We're just grateful, Lord God, for these men that are in our lives and that are trying, Lord God, to become more like you and to reflect you, Lord God, into the different homes. All the homes, the marriages, the families that are represented here this morning. We just pray a great blessing upon them, Lord God.
Thank you, Father.
Especially those men that are doing their best to be a father that represents the Father in heaven. Just a great blessing on those men and those homes, Lord God, we pray. Lord, our church is nothing without the families that make it up, the people that make it up, the couples, Lord God, that make it up, Lord God, the children, Lord God. We're just nothing as a church without the next generation. We just thank you for the children, the teenagers, the grandchildren that are part of what we do, Lord God. We're just so grateful for everything you've given us as a church community. And we continue to always want to honor you as the Father over this church, Lord God. We just thank you for a great day today and the rest of the day.